Good evening, one and all, and welcome to episode 128 of the Talking Talkie podcast. I am Matt. I'm presenting live from very, very sunny, very warm Manchester, and I'm joined by a duplex of Toms this evening. I'm joined by Tom Vosper. Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm better after last night. I'm better than I was on Sunday, let me tell you. We'll get to that. And I'm joined by a new Tom. Yeah, that's right. We didn't think it was confusing enough having hundreds of mats. We've now decided to collect as many Toms as we possibly can. Tom, who are you and why are you here?
Hello, I am Tom Beddoes with a B, not an M, as normally gets confused with. I am here because you've asked me to be here, Matt. And I'm looking forward to rumbling on about the joys of being a Torquay United fan.
That's my fault. I did forget to caveat that question with the usual, you can't answer it, why are you here, with because you've asked me to be.
Okay.
So Tom gets on that. Welcome, Tom, to the podcast. We have drafted Tom in because we thought you could do with hearing yet more opinions. So here he is. And the two Toms are going to talk about a game I didn't go to. Unfortunately, we do have to talk about Avely. I'm aware it wasn't brilliant, but we should cover it because we cover all the games. So fight between yourselves as to which of you wants to tell us what on earth happened on Saturday.
Well, it wasn't the most exciting of afternoons in sunny Essex, unfortunately. It was quite a dull afternoon, I think, in general. Avely were much the better side throughout. And just, yeah, with much more pressure than we could put together. It was probably one of the low lights of ever being a Torquay United fan and on that afternoon. Part obviously the company was great and the fans, everything was the plus light, but the match is after the start of this season, I think, was probably the worst match I've seen this season so far.
Yeah, we went goal down fairly swiftly, didn't we?
I think it was 40th minute, maybe.
Oh, well, not quite as early as I thought.
No.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we were a goal down and then bloody two to a team that none of us could point to on the map. Tom Vosper, do your thoughts mirror those? Was it the most boring afternoon you've ever seen and rubbish?
Yes, I would say so. It was incredibly frustrating. It was the first time I've seen us live this season, not on a stream. And I regretted it very, very quickly. Luckily for me, it's a pretty short journey from South London to Avely, which is very close to Dartford. So out in the complete middle of nowhere, it was a proper welcome to the National League South. It was a proper good away day, a place to go for an away game. But we just never got going. And as soon as the teams came out, they had two huge centre-halves and one giant central midfielder sort of sitting CDM just in front of them. They had the little triangle, basically. And what we tried to do was just continuously hoof it up, and just nothing was paying off. Nothing was working. It was quite reassuring to see us back staying in 4-4-2. I was quite excited to see Dylan De Silva. I know he's had his critics, and I want to give him another second cracker there this season, but he just looked completely out of his depth. And at one point, I think within the first sort of 10 minutes, he sort of got it onto his left, a perfect opportunity to cross with his left foot. And I can only describe it as myself trying to hit a left footed cross. And I'm very, very, very incredibly right footed. He just looked completely out of his depth. And the right back seemed like a bit of a nutter, got booked for something stupid, and you knew he was going to get, and he was the one who ended up getting sent off for the handball and the build up to the consolation goal. But we finally have some wingers like Stobbs and Silva, and you think they're going to be perfect for this level. And just neither of them really got into the game. If they, any opportunities they had, because they were so few and far between, they really tried to make the most of it, but couldn't. They just didn't quite have the quality. And certainly Stobbs, the amount of times it was on the right-hand side and whipped in, and it was over-hit cross, under-hit cross. And it was just a painful afternoon. It was just one of those ones after about 10, 15 minutes, we looked like we were slightly on top, I'd say, and then they just got back into it, and that was it. It wasn't the classic second half performance that we've seen from Gary Johnson's side in recent weeks, where he came out and we looked up for it. It just wasn't the case. They, if anything, they turned up the heat, and I think they had I think their number 10, just everything was going through him. He looked so tidy on the ball, just loved running at our defenders, and it was just inevitable that we were going to come away with no points from that. And to get a consolation goal, couldn't be more of a consolation. It felt like scoring one when we were already about 6-0 down, because that's what we should have been. And you sort of go away from a game like that without being too negative, but it's a real, I just feel a bit bereft of any sort of real care and interest in it when you're leaving an empty ground like that, and it's going to nowhere really. And for no real perform, nobody really turned up, nobody could be bothered. And you just think individually there were some good players there, but there's just the tactics were just so outdated. And even when we slightly had a chance to get the ball down, we just couldn't do it. And I think that's what Johnson said after the game. He tried to claim that, oh, we tried these, this, that, and the other, and didn't quite pay off. It was a very, very, very dominant 2-1 win. And the way their bench celebrated, certainly with the second goal, it was like they'd won the cup, and rightfully so. We were shocking, and we're a big name coming down. We have absolutely no right to be beating Avely at all. You can turn up and you can think, wow, I can't believe we're at this level. This is where we're playing now. But you have no right to think, oh, we should turn these over 3 or 4-0. So after the game, seeing comments about, well, we should be battering teams like this, that they absolutely should not. They were so much more professional than us. They had better players than us. They had a better system. And leaving that, it just felt so, I feel sorry, I feel like I've ranted on quite a bit, because I've kind of forgotten about it a bit after yesterday's game. So things feel a lot better now because things are so different. Obviously, we'll get on to that. But coming away from that, just get in the car. And then I went with a mate who's, I think he's been to 10 Torquay games, seen us win twice. And he was just like, that was rubbish. I said, yeah, that was rubbish. Let's not talk about it. And that was it. Just didn't talk about it again. Within about 2 minutes of leaving the ground, where normally you'd spend the next half an hour dissecting the game. And it's just a sigh. That's all I could say. And another positive, you can buy a beer and it was sunny. So there were things like that. But ultimately, it was a poor, poor day from Torquay, for sure.
It's funny you should say about, like, just not being interested in talking about the game and turning up at a place and leaving a ground where you go, Jesus, I've just seen my professional club that I've seen play league games at Swansea and Bournemouth and Cardiff and even like Tranmere and clubs like that. You know, we've been to big grounds and played in front of big, and then I've come away from wherever we were. I had exactly the same thing under Gravy Gary when we lost 1-0 away at Oxford City. I was like, A, I've seen us play Oxford United, and B, three sides or not. That's a much better ground than the school 3G that Oxford City play in. And yeah, there was not a single redeeming feature from that Oxford City performance. And it was a little way home because we were up here at the time. So it was kind of 3 hours home or whatever. And I don't think I said a word to P. You know, we didn't exchange a single comment about the game. It was just, what on earth do you say when you're walking away from a pitch out the back of a secondary school, having lost 1-0 to a team of blokes who'd been at work all day? And it sounds a bit like Avely was kind of the same thing. And you're right, you know, we have no right at all to turn up and beat these guys. The complaint before last night was that we'd lost, oh, you know, we're not very good, we've lost two games. But in fairness, the two games we've lost all season are against the teams who are currently first and second. So as upsetting as it might be to go, the friggin' hell are Worthing and Avely, they're the teams who are currently in pole position to go up into the league that we've just been relegated from. So I wouldn't dismiss them too easily just because you can't point to them on a map. These are good, solid non-league sides that benefit from being geographically very close to London and hoovering up the best of the non-league talent. I hope that's right. I hope if Joe Pope's listening, I hope he's sat there nodding his little head off, going, "Yeah, that's right. That's what happens." And that these aren't actually just like 11 builders that they plucked off the local sort of building sites. "God, do you fancy a kickabout tonight, lads? We're playing Torquay." I'm hopeful that that's what's happened. So, are we already bored about talking about Avely?
Very
Yes,
much
lots of
so.
nodding. That's good. Okay. Can we talk about last night then? That was a bit more interesting. We beat, who did we beat?
Farnborough.
Farnborough, thank you. Straight out of my mind. It's one of
Come
my
on,
podcasts that
Matt.
I
Oh, it's
can't
the
remember.
highest quality podcast,
Proud of
this.
it. So we beat in Farnborough 3-1. It was
3-0.
3-0.
Yeah,
This
second
is
clean
going
sheet of the
well.
season.
This is incredible. This is going really well. I said, "Well, we're even 3-0.
You
This
sure
is
you watched it?
great." Why did I think they scored? I don't know.
They hit
Oh, I think
the post,
somebody
didn't they,
thinks
with
we
that
got a
really
consolation goal,
key?
and I've just transposed that into what happened last night. So, for those of you who weren't there, we won 3-0. I wasn't there, but I think, no, none of us was there, were we? So, we've all watched it on stream. We've all had exactly the same experience of it. How did you guys feel about the game itself? I'm sure we were delighted with the win, but the way we played, bedfellows, any particular standouts for you?
Yeah, I think it was a good game. I thought it's from what we've seen so far this season to have a two, I mean not full halves of good football, but reasonably good performance both in the first and second half. It was a good performance. I think that we always said that it takes a while for a team to click, and I hope that last night is the game that we've clicked going forwards. I mean, I was a bit apprehensive when I saw the team sheet and McGavin was on the sheet, but I think he has slightly redeemed himself with his performance last night. He did what he needed to do to keep us, keep us moving forward and dominate the pitch, which I think we did well. The other one who the Cienkes Davis, I think probably it's probably his best game that I've seen him after watching him at Dover. I wasn't too taken by him. I was a bit like, okay, we've got it's a young lad from Plymouth, I think. And didn't think much of him at Dover, and he hasn't really kind of done anything to kind of change my mind. And then last night, I think it's been his first game where he's made an impact with the rest of the team and has led us helped us get the win that we needed to. I mean, obviously, Jarvis getting the two goals, you can't take that away from him. He's probably man of the match for me, really. But it's just him and Nash, I think, have got their relationship together now and that they know what they want. They just need the delivery to them from the rest of the men on the pitch. But yeah, I think it was a good performance. And let's just crack on with it going forwards.
Yeah, it was a massive improvement, obviously, from Saturday. And I think we did slightly benefit from the fact that, I guess, Farnborough, despite only being, I think, point or two behind us at the start of the game, they just didn't have the same quality or certainly the intensity that Avelia had. And I think that's something that really, really benefited certainly McGavin. He had so much time in the middle of the park, and that's one of the heavy criticisms that a lot of people have of him is that he just can't really move. It's not necessarily his passing. Like his delivery is normally quite good with set pieces, but it's just he just can't get up and down the pitch. And I felt like last night he didn't necessarily have to do as much running as he has had to do in previous games. It's also relatively reassuring to see us bounce back from a defeat. I think to the performance was just such a different class to Saturday's one. The way we tried to play was we were far more up for it and in their faces and straight into it from kickoff. And I think once we'd lost to Worthing and once we lost to Avely, Johnson's obviously had a serious words with the team, and it's the exact reaction that both he would wanted and obviously the fans would have wanted. Speaking about Jarvis, I think he's really sort of carrying us through. Another player that's carried us through is obviously Halstead. I think he had certainly one of his quieter nights. Even then, he still had a couple of saves to make. I think That was quite a scary moment, wasn't it? I think we were 1-0 up, maybe it was even 0-0, and there was a underhit sort of pass back made towards him, and I thought he wasn't quite going to get there, and I thought that was going to end up, and thought here we go again. But no, he's been fantastic, Halstead, and same can be said for Jarvis and obviously Ash as well. Like, completely agree, Tom. I think they're a perfect duo now up front. I think if we can get some regular, like a regular four in midfield that are consistently going to play, I think we're going to be more than fine. I think defensively we looked solid again. I think the quality of Farnborough can be questioned, and there we can obviously, we could discuss that for ages about the actual quality of this league and comparing different teams. But defensively we looked far more assured, and a real prime example of that was the way that Tomlinson sort of carried the ball out, didn't he, and played the through ball through to Jarvis for the first goal. It was, you could just see it slightly open up, and I think a player with no confidence would have just gone long, and I think on Saturday he would have looked to go long, whereas on Tuesday night he looked far more confident and comfortable. I'm not sure whether that was the words that Johnson had said, whether that was just the playing at home. There was obviously different thing, different circumstances that you could use for the reasoning, but all in all, a much, much better performance and completely dominating. And I think previous games where we've won, I know people say, well, we've won the game, so it's fine. Performances, it doesn't matter as long as you win. Being a boy from Norwich, I'm very conscious of what happened last year for Norwich City with Dean Smith in charge. They found themselves top around this sort of time last year, winning games scruffily, never playing well, and that ran out for them, and obviously they ended up finishing sort of mid-table. I think we can, there's two ways you can look at it. You play badly, you can win games and you grind out and you get out of the league, or something like that happens. And it felt more towards a Dean Smith Norwich side from last year, and that Halstead had kept us in it for so many of those games. Whereas yesterday, it was like a new dawn. It felt completely different, and hopefully we're going to take that into Saturday's game as well.
Yeah, lots to think about in that lot. For me, the standouts were where you mentioned about the confidence. I think we grew in confidence as the game went on, and we realised that actually we are good enough to get the ball down and pass it around, and we aren't going to be caused undue problems by Farnborough, or probably any other team in this division, really, I shouldn't think. There were early signs of sort of balls getting launched forward from Farnborough that our back four were just heading as hard as they could 40 yards out of play, when there was ample time to bring the ball down, there was ample space to bring the ball down and find a pass. And even if you bobble your touch, it's going to go to a teammate, or if you miss the ball completely, it's going to bounce through to Halstead, because it was those kinds of balls through. And yet we were still, for the first 20 minutes, electing to Guy Branston it, just get it as far up the pitch as possible. But that did stop. That stopped the longer the game went on. I think Moxie's influence was something to do with that, where he was electing to play more passes and to play simpler passes. His pass in the first half wasn't great, and then the second half he started playing it. A, he started playing a bit further forward, and B, he started passing the ball a bit more simply. So I think that probably was a question of just having the confidence after we were sick kickoff. How bad a start can we have had? But we hadn't been great, and then obviously we were rubbish on Saturday. So I think maybe the confidence took a little while to come through, but once it did, there was a real shift in the way we played. Special mention for McGavin, who was drafted back in, subject to some comments that were taken maybe the wrong way from Johnson, pre-match, where he said that he hadn't lost faith in him. Kirsty Jarvis, who'll come up again in a minute, said that she thought he wasn't the greatest thing that Johnson had ever said. I think that's probably how you read it. If you read that as, I haven't lost faith in him, other people might have done, but I haven't, he's still my player, then it's a perfectly okay thing to say. If you read it as, oh, I haven't lost faith in him, oh no, I haven't quite lost faith in him yet, which is another perfectly reasonable interpretation of those words, it doesn't read so well. She mentioned that. I happen to think he meant it sort of in a good way rather than a bad way, in a sort of no reason to believe that. We just took him out, put him back in. And she did also mention what a difference it makes when you play him in his correct position in sort of central defensive midfield, rather than asking him to be a number 10 or wide or anything else. You put the right square peg in square hole and you end up with a decent performance. So it was 170 minutes or whatever. Let's not go overboard. We haven't suddenly signed Iniesta or whatever, but positive signs are there. So I think Johnson probably gets kudos for that, for his management of that situation after, you know, hooking him against Worthing and then leaving him out for a period, allowing him to come back in. And judging from Brett's post-match comments as well in his interview, he's obviously aware that that's what's happened. This was not a question of thinking he'd been left out and then just naturally come back in. He obviously is aware that Johnson has said to him, no, you're out for 6 weeks or whatever, and then you're back in. And he's taken that chance and run with it. So I think he's done quite well. There are other things I liked from yesterday. Yeah, Tomlinson is getting better and better. I was worried about him after Dover because he got bullied for one of their goals. Their big guy just armed him out of the way and won the ball. Was yesterday very, very good. And he was good at St Albans when I saw him in the flesh as well. So I think there's positive signs there. And keeping a clean sheet. Love that. It's amazing what happens when you're not a goal down after 15 minutes. The opposition's only shot, isn't it? We've been saying, lots of people have said, oh, we got a bit lucky to beat Braintree, you know, last minute penalty, all that. But I think we were a bit unlucky not to have been 2-0, not 2-1. They had kind of one shot. It squirmed under from a mistake in the midfield. Squirmed under Halstead, found its way into the net. Suddenly you're chasing the game. And I can understand then why you start launching the ball long. Because Torquay in this division feel like we should probably be winning every week. I know the fans do. I do, because I look at these teams and go, well, obviously we're better than these. We're a professional outfit. The players probably feel that too. And if you're a goal down 20 minutes in, you're starting to panic, thinking, you know, I've got Gary Johnson breathing down my neck. And we know that Johnson will hook players 20 minutes in. I mean, he did in his very first game, didn't he? He took somebody, I don't know. I can't remember what he did yesterday, let alone what happened 2 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it was. He took somebody off, didn't he, before half-time. Might have been Jake Andrews, maybe, don't know. And that's probably in your mind as a player. So you start to think, well, how can I have the greatest impact here? The right ball is the 15-yard ball into the midfielder. But the ball that might just unlock a defence is the 40, 50-yard long ball that then just gets scooped up by the goalkeeper. But if that's in your mind, shit, we're a goal down, I can see why that's happened. No coincidence, I don't think. We didn't go a goal down yesterday after some silly amount of minutes. And then we did go on and play quite nicely for an hour and a half. So I think credit where it's due to the management and the team who've obviously done their bit. I was very happy. More nodding. Podcast. It's not a video.
Can't disagree with anything you're saying, Matt, at all.
I like that. That's why I invite you two on. Good. As soon as I know I'm going to be on it, I'm like, right, who do I want on with me? Any other mentions for anybody or anything? From yesterday.
Do we all think that McGavin is going to keep his place and then carry on in the same vein of form, or do we think it was a one-off?
I would like to see him keeping his place for Saturday, allowing him to show some consistency with his performances, and that he can, you know, add some impact to the games going forward, and whether that be for another 60 minutes or so. Did he come off last night? I can't remember if he came. Yeah. Whether that just be for 60 minutes whilst hopefully we have a reasonable lead, and then he can have a break kind of thing. I think having performances will help with his confidence and giving the fans some confidence in him as well. So it'll be good to have him still on the team sheet for Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. For what it's worth, I agree. I don't think we could have asked any more of him last night, and I don't see how you can reintroduce him. He plays like that, and then you drop him, because what the hell was that telling? it doesn't matter how good you are, the minute I can drop you, I will. That's not the message that Johnson will want to send. It's not the message that he deserves. So, yes, I think we probably stick with him. And I mean, who knows? He might turn out to be, you know, Dan Martin did, didn't he? Last year, year before, whenever it was, he had a little while out and then he came back in and was just brilliant. So here's hoping that Shooter McGavin is the player that is going to go on to be the player that we all kind of, Johnson certainly, and I think quite a few of the fans thought we were signing when we got hold of him. I think that's it. That is it for the good news of yesterday, which means we turn our attention to Chelmsford, who are fifth. They're immediately behind us. They're a point behind us. They've scored 11 goals and conceded six. And they've got 15 points from eight games. And they're not bringing a coach. Apparently, the fans, not players, obviously. They couldn't muster the numbers to come down to us. I've been to Chelmsford and I've been to Torquay. And let me tell you, if I had the chance to get a coach from Chelmsford to Torquay on a sunny September afternoon, I would do that very thing. The good people of Chelmsford feel differently, so some of them aren't coming. Lots of them aren't coming. How do we see that panning out, with the important caveat that presumably you guys know the same about Chelmsford as I do, and that's fuck all?
Yeah, I don't know a lot. I know they've only lost one game this season, and that was on Monday evening. So I think it's going to be another tough game, similar to Avely and Worthing. But I hope that we've got enough now and to see it out. I don't know anything about any of the Chelsea players. I don't know what the top scorer is like. And like you, Matt, I don't. Yeah, no bugger all. But I think considering it's at home and we've just won quite well last night, I think we need to keep that going forward. We've got a break the week after from the league, so. It will be a good way to kind of sign this first part of the league season off with a nice comfortable win at home in the sunshine.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's obviously a no brainer that home form is going to determine whereabouts we finish. I think we'll take so much confidence from the game on Tuesday. Having asked the question earlier about McGavin, I completely agree with your response, Tom. I think he's got to play the same team barring any injuries, I guess. Obviously, Moxley started in the on Tuesday, so I'm not sure how fit he'll be to play back-to-back games. But going into it, I think we've got to be fully confident. I think the issues that we've had in the past, some of our scrambled wins, I think a thumping of Farnborough 3-0, albeit a very poor quality Farnborough, I think we've got to be able to look at Chelmsford at home as an opportunity to get another 3 points. I think, was it the last time we played them when we, in the title winning season, and it was a massive game. I think Rory Keating had the game of his life. I think it was scored two or three goals and won us it pretty late on in the season. I'm not sure if I'm making this up. I think it was Chelmsford, but can see another performance like that from Stobbs maybe, because I think Keating was obviously playing out on the right of midfield in those days. So I think Stobbs is due a good game. Again, he was very unlucky to score against Avely, wasn't he? I think I thought at one point he was sort of through. I thought he was gonna score, and then somehow the defender managed to get back and block it. Be interesting to see whether we get any more loan signings in, I guess. I think with the chap from Southampton, he's had a couple of sub appearances, looked half decent. He's obviously not gonna push out Jarvis or Ash, is he, up front? So he might have to deal with being out on the wing. But if we could find, I think, well, if we're having this conversation after Saturday, I'd be saying we need a central midfielder. We've needed a central midfielder for weeks. We might have found one in McGavin, but I'm still, the jury's out still for me. So I think a couple of loan signings still would be great. I don't know if there's been any sort of rumours at all in the last couple of days of anyone coming in, or...
Wasn't there a thing that Kieran Evans was spotted on the seafront, but it turned out to just be Lewis Collins or somebody?
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize that was actually a thing.
It could have been Evans.
Okay.
He's down here visiting Donnellan because of the international break. So he's not needed, I think, for Wales, so they're just not playing. So he is in the Bay, apparently, Evans, but he is in his best friend, Sean Donnellan. So they may well have been spotted together, or they may not. I don't know. But if he's down here, it's to see a chum, not to sign for us.
Not to sign for us.
No. I mean, he played a couple of... he's made a couple of appearances for Cardiff this season. So, like, there's absolutely no chance of him coming back down. This is not another Joe Lewis situation where you go, oh, yeah, we'll never see him again. And then 9 months later, he turns up because he hasn't kicked a ball. No, no, he is. He will be in Cardiff's side. I read a thing by somebody, I don't know, could have been anybody, that rated him as like the most likely youth product to go on to play every week for Cardiff. So he's obviously very highly thought of. I've Googled it in the time that we've been talking, and no, we drew our first game in the non-league South with Chelmsford away. We drew 0-0 under Gray.
That was also awful.
But then we had an actual manager and an actual team in by the time we played them again. On the 2nd of April, Tuesday, the 2nd of April, we won 3-1. The Lemon, Shagger, and Jake Andrews. They were so bad, Jake Andrews scored. I don't know if Keating was in the lineup.
Keating must have set up two of the goals or something. I swear he I'm pretty sure Sam Drew always talks about it. So if he's...
It was the week before Ben Winter Day. So,
yeah,
it was the match before before we drew 3-0 with Woking. So Keating was in hot form at that time. So you could well be right.
Just looking at the Chelmsford team as well, there's one name of a one name that we'll recognise, Jazzy Barnum Bob.
Good Lord Almighty. Okay, I looked at you when you said about I don't know who gets their goals. Nobody gets their goals. Their top scorer has two.
Right.
Aaron Jarvis has two in half.
Yeah.
On Tuesday night, their guy has two in 2 months. So they are spreading themselves around.
Is it a safe bet to have Jazzy Barnum Bob to score against us on Saturday then, as typical former Torquay players do?
It's surprise
me. Losing, you know, in a 4-3 defeat, a Barnum Bob hat trick, and we still come out on top. That'd be a good game.
I imagine he would respect playing more though, and not celebrate. I think if he was to score.
Yeah, strange signing. We've signed some strange players over the last few years since we got relegated out of the Football League again, but he was among the strangest. What did he bring? I mean, nothing. Anyway, I don't even really want to think about it because I imagine he was probably bought to the club by somebody that we don't like. So we can ignore him completely, first on Johnson's chopping board. Score predictions. I like score predictions. I'm a big fan of score predictions, particularly when I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. So I'm going to put the onus on new Tom first.
I'm going to go 4-1, Torquay.
Lime, okay. Goal fest, love it.
Yeah.
Other Tom, not new Tom.
Old Tom thinks he's become very pessimistic this season, so I think I'm going to say 1-1.
Oh, no, I was going to say 1-1.
I don't know. There's one convincing win all season. I don't think that's. If we can batter Chelmsford, then yeah, I'm on it. We're going to win the league, but I'm still got my reservations. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. I will go with 2-1 Torquay. We'll score first again. We'll be fairly good, but they'll peg us. No, they won't. We'll go 2-0 up, and they will get a fairly late consolation. It will look a bit Aveley-ish, but without quite the gap between the two sides. I think we'll sneak it. And I think Tom Lapsley's going to score. I think he's going to get his toe on one. Good ball in from out wide. And I think he'll prod one in. That's what I'm going to say. Is there any other business? Do we need to talk about anything else, whether it's related to Torquay or not?
We've had the FA Cup draw yesterday.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, yesterday. Wimborne Town. The only thing I know about them is that Tim Steels manages them. That's it. I had to Google where Wimborne was because I wasn't really sure.
Yeah, it's another one of those, isn't it? Okay, fair enough. Okay. It's next Saturday.
Yes,
16th. If you're listening to this when it comes out, it's next Saturday. If you're listening to it in 2029 for some reason, it's not next Saturday. by then, bloody hell, it might be a league fixture. Okay, yeah. What do we want to do in the cups this year? The trophy and the cup. Do we want to get them out of the way and just focus on the league, that old cliche, or do we want to go for them and see what happens?
Personally, I always want to see us try and win every single game. And looking back when Johnson first came in, we were at the early stages of the FA Cup, weren't we? And we played like Lymington Town and some like Brightlingsea and places like that and battered them 7-0. And I think we're on BBC at one point. And I kind of got the atmosphere certainly turned up, didn't it, after that. I think everyone felt a lot more encouraged and looked ahead to the season. So I think if you can go into these games and obviously win them comfortably, it goes without saying that that is brilliant. I would like us to go full strength. I think Johnson normally does, doesn't he? We're not exactly blessed in, not exactly in a position to field a second string 11 for the FA Cup qualifying games. We're pretty limited in numbers, aren't we? But I'll obviously want us to go for it. You can't beat an FA Cup. If you're in the draw for the FA Cup first round, or even the third round, if you ever get that lucky, I think watching that on the BBC is always brilliant. So I'm always keen for us to win these games.
Yeah, I agree. I think keep getting FA Cup run going, keep the winning momentum going, get the fans back on board. If we can get to the first round and if we get a draw like we did last year with Derby, then excellent. Because that was although the Pride Park evening wasn't as much fun. It was good fun until whatever the 8th minute or whatever it was. So get a good cup run. If we can get a nice draw as we go on, and let's not have Woking or Boreham Wood that we tend to end up with. FA Trophy, I don't know when we enter it. I think it's probably around Christmas, but let's see where we are. And if we're at the top of the table, and you know, we want to carry on the momentum of having a good atmosphere and play more and keeping the crowd up, then fine. But I'm not too fussed about the trophy, to be honest.
Good. Treat the trophy with the contempt it deserves. We shouldn't be in it. We should be in the League Cup. We should be in the Johnson's paint, which is embarrassing in itself. It's just an embarrassing competition. And yeah, we should treat that with a due lack of respect, the same as we do the trophy. Yeah, I think I'm with you guys, that if we are winning is a habit, and I'd hate for us to win two league games on the bounce, particularly if we do them in a bit of style. You know, we win on Saturday, again, 2-3-0, and we look good and we're playing well. I really wouldn't want us to ruin that momentum by going to Wimbledon the week after and not bothering and losing 1-0 and whatever else. So, yeah, I think it's probably important for us, not so much for the cup necessarily, but for the continuity of winning becomes a habit. So just win the game. Vosper, I believe you are doing a feat of endurance.
I am.
You are. And your people are able to donate money to your preferred charity as a reward to them for undertaking endurance.
You're referring to the football tournament.
You've got a football tournament. You're running half marathons. You don't stop. You're a machine.
Well, so the half marathon this weekend and the marathon in October. I'm not actually raising any money for any charities. I'm sort of just doing that for fun. I did want to say thank you for bringing up my tournament, not just this week, but a couple of weeks ago in the build up to it and sharing the Just Giving page. Still open if anyone wants to donate to, I know it's very random to donate to a Norfolk cancer charity, but if anyone does want to, then I'll be very, very appreciative of it. It was a couple of weeks ago now. It was a beautiful sunny day. Four teams turned up, raised lots of money, not just from playing, but also from the barbecue and cake sales. My team managed to win one game out of three, which is a bit of an improvement. We had one lad playing for us up front who used to play for Southend and Ebbsfleet. So we had some big names.
You won one game?
Just won one game, yeah.
Did he play for Ebbsfleet in like 1973 or?
No, I think he played for them. I think when
not
we
in the
were,
trophy final.
No, unfortunately not. He was he's still a relatively young lad. I can't remember when he played for them. I want to say when we were back in the Football League, I think, and he then was playing. I can't remember what years that was. But we never, our paths never crossed, sorry. But he didn't actually score. And he did miss one very good opportunity because he didn't take it very seriously. But I wouldn't tell him that, so he's not listening to us. But no, thanks for bringing that up, Matt. It was a brilliant day. Like I said, it's still open for donations if anyone wants to. Obviously, times are tough and Norfolk Cancer Charity is probably not anyone's priority, but every little helps in the world of Tesco. So it was a good day.
All right, well, we'll tweet the link to that. We'll go below the tweet for this podcast. So that if you want to chip in for that, and you should want to chip in for that, if you can and you want to, then do. That will be open for a little while. Running a marathon for fun. You're insane. I ran a marathon for fun last year and it was no fun at all.
Well, it's partly fun and partly a holiday because it's in Lisbon. So at least it's at least a get out of the country.
I was in London in October, so it wasn't a holiday. Although thanks to at Steph P. Dixon for arranging nice weather for the day. It was exactly the weather I wanted. It still wasn't any fun, but it was exactly the weather I wanted.
I did see the weather.
Motivator, though. Neither of you are old enough to remember him. Big black guy that used to appear on morning television to get bored housewives off their sofas and doing like 5 minutes of exercise.
Big ball. He wears fluorescent coloured stuff.
He's very much. Yeah. Imagine if Annika Rice had been born a guy bald and black. You remember how she used to dress to challenge Annika? Neither of you are old enough for this, are you? I'm so old. It was very 90s. If you went skiing in the early 90s, you dressed either like Annika Rice or Mr. Motivator. And I saw him, which was a treat, as well as, you know, running 26 miles for charity and all that. So, yes, that was good. New Tom, do you have any other business?
I don't think so. Thank you very much for having me on. Good to be here.
Well, you've done it for me. Yeah. So thanks to Tom. Thanks to other Tom.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thanks to you for listening. And we will see you after the Chelmsford game when we will preview Wimborne properly. Thanks very much.